The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Zemanny, my husband, fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Good morning, I'm great. How are you?
Very good today, thank you.
We also have fellow realtor Dan Taylor from Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate for the second week in a row. You are a quality service producer.
Yes. Happy to be one.
Yes.
Proud to be one.
Yes.
And happy to be here.
And we're proud of you too, Dan. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We discuss real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, check the live Dunmore Corners webcam and get a live view and see what's going on at the corners.
JReady.com is mobile friendly. View our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to JReady.com, JRUDDY.com, and check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Okay, Dan Taylor, fellow realtor and quality service producer. We welcome you back. We're going to talk about what people who want to sell their home, who we call sellers of listings, what they should be doing to get their home ready to market it.
Yeah, and it's about that time. They're starting to hit the market, and a lot of people are thinking now's the time, especially with the move, and a lot of people want to move before the school year kicks in. So they're putting the home up, hoping to get it sold, and we're going to talk about how to do that, the best way and most effective way to get the highest and best price in the least amount of time with the least amount of problems.
We often tell people what to do inside and outside to get ready. Those things that buyers look at to have curb appeal,
yeah.
What to do to attract that buyer who drives by your property before they schedule an appointment. And there's basic stuff. We say it over and over again. I feel like I'm a broken record, but time and time again, I don't know, we're just maybe not hitting the right listeners, but people don't always
they
listen.
They don't heed the advice, and it's kind of mind-boggling at times, because last week we talked about what buyers are looking for and how we encourage them to drive the neighborhoods and look at the homes before they schedule their showings. So it would only be logical that the sellers would prepare those homes for the best view from the buyer's perspective. So, you know, like you said, the exterior is big. The curb appeal is big. You don't have to go planting, you know, a brand new landscape design, but clean up what's there. Clean up, especially with the spring weather hitting now, get the fall leaves out from below the trees, the shrubs, trim the shrubs back a little bit, throw some mulch in the yard, stuff like that.
And they're simple, low-cost fixes. Paint the front door. How long does that take?
Exactly. You're asking me?
Well, you paint the front
long.
Door every
no,
time.
I don't. You're the painter. That's right. I am the painter.
Every time I need a new color in
that's
my
right.
life, you paint the door. How long does it take?
It doesn't take long
no,
at all.
Not
and
at
just
all.
By changing the color of the front door, you can change the whole appearance of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really can't grab attention. And it's it's the attention to detail. And it showcases, in my opinion, pride of ownership, which is really what the buyers are looking for. They want to know that you take care of the home, because if they see that there's a potted plant and there's flowers and a freshly painted door, they know that you've taken care of that home. You actually care about the quality and the condition of the property.
And at night, have lights.
Yes, definitely light the home.
On that work that are bright.
Right, but not Christmas lights.
No, those no. Christmas lights no. that stay
Christmas
up.
Christmas lights in July.
And I understand it's been a very cold winter. So if you put it off, that's fine. But be sure, before you put it on the market, be sure to take down those icicle lights.
And inside, there are things that make a difference to a buyer. And, you know, the senses come into play here. And when we open that front door, not only what we see matters, but in the smell or the odor of the home also matters.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mothballs are great. They do a great job. But how many times do you walk through a home and it's overwhelming? And it really, you want to create the environment. You got to keep in mind that when the buyer walks through your home, they're trying to picture and envision their life in that house. So you want to do whatever you can to make that as warm and inviting as possible. And you're right. A lot of agents don't touch on that very often, but smell is a big point. You know, maybe some nice candles. You don't have to overdo it. You don't want to, you know.
Well, anybody that overdoes it, I've actually had it work against them because people think, well, what are they hiding? Right. Are they hiding a musty smell?
Right.
Is there something they don't want me to know about? So don't overdo it. And the whole key here is balance.
And, you know, especially with the spring weather approaching, fresh air is nice too. Open a window, let some fresh air throughout the house. You know, with all the winter months, things are musty. And, you know, I'm sure we'll touch about it, but other things too, for the visual perspective, clutter. Get rid of the clutter. You really don't maximize the space, and they can't. It's very difficult, you know, for as often as I tell buyers, look past the furniture, look past the stuff in the closet. It's tough for them to really get a visual as to what, how much space is there to utilize, how they can picture their furniture. Now, we're not saying remove everything from the home by any means, but clean. You know, a standard cleaning, obviously, but you want to declutter, especially closets, especially bathrooms.
Well, that overstuffed closet translates in the buyer's mind as there's not enough closet space.
Right, right.
Another thing you don't want to see when you open the front door is the seller, right?
Right.
Yes, I don't want to see the owner there. If I'm going to look at a house, leave. Go to the grocery store, go have a cup of coffee, because I'm trying to picture myself living in this house.
Right, and it's a great point. Not only are they trying to picture themselves in the house, but oftentimes, and I'm sure you've experienced this, some sellers will get offended when you ask them to leave the home if they are still currently residing there. And what you've got to understand is that buyers, they're already somewhat uncomfortable walking into a home that isn't theirs. When you're there, they don't feel as though they can express themselves to their agent about the home. I like this. I don't like this. I got to get rid of this wallpaper. Some people may be offended by that, and that's why they may be reserved, and it may prevent them from really getting a visual, because when they discuss those options with their agent, they're going to get the agent's going to help them and say, well, we could pull the carpets if there's hardwood underneath. You don't have to keep this carpet. But again, they may not even address that if the seller's standing there, because they may not want to offend them.
But some owners feel, I want to be here in case there's any questions.
Or that we will not figure out things or see things that they need us to know about. And they hover. And sometimes that hovering, and that is very, very distracting. And you're right, people are not at all at ease.
And I've noticed too, when the seller's present, it's almost like a speed showing. Have
yes,
you noticed that?
Yes, I want to get out of the house.
They don't
get
really take
here.
The time to walk through the home and envision their life there. They almost feel as though they're, it's, you know,
intruding on somebody.
Right, exactly. They're intruding. So it's a quick showing, and it more often than not gets crossed off the list because they didn't get an opportunity to really envision themselves in the home. And we talked about it the other day.
There's an argument for this, and I've heard it time and time again. The sellers that feel that they need to be present for the showings, sometimes they have a legitimate reason, and that is they don't know the realtor and they don't know the buyers that are coming through the house. So they may feel that they're putting their valuables at risk. And I get that from a security standpoint. And also that we may miss something, a point that I just brought up, and they feel that because the realtor never showed the house before, they're not going to see it or figure it out. So we get all that, but there are ways around that. Leaving a list of don't forget to look at this,
right?
You know, on the dining room table, on the kitchen counter, dear realtor, you know, writing a story about the house, writing about those items that we must see and not overlook. And maybe, you know, go around with a marker dating the furnace, the year it was installed, the water heater, the electrical panel, things like that, and putting notes places. That'll help us.
You're right. And we talked about it last week with all the websites and the apps and the opportunities for the buyer. What did you say? 90% of buyers are looking online. It's key now for the buyer to have information. So you're absolutely right. The more information you can provide someone who's walking through that home by putting a list together. I love love when they do that, because even we're not perfect. We may miss something that they really wanted shown, and that way it gives us the opportunity to make sure everything that they fell in love with, the future buyer falls in love with. And that's what we were talking about is, you know, if you're afraid that you need to be there hovering over the buyer to explain everything to them, make sure you explain that to your agent when they take the listing. When you're putting the home on the market, explain to them what you fell in love with, because more than likely that's what the new buyer is going to like. And that's your agent's job to share that with the showing agent or the prospective buyer to make sure that everyone's on the same page.
Those valuables, they could be locked up.
Yeah,
they're not out in plain sight whether you're there or not. And most people aren't going to schedule an appointment to rob your house.
Right. And not only that, but like you said, you can lock up the real valuable items, but no one's pulling a, you know, 3-foot picture off the wall and walking out the door with it. There's some things, like I always say, electronics, jewelry, cash, obviously you'll want to remove from the home. But other than that, and the other thing too to keep in mind is the agent's there with them. You have a realtor representing the buyer who's, you know, also overseeing the showing.
Well, let's talk about things that the seller says that are unintentional but will work against them, whether it be their current situation, if there's a, you know, some sort of sorrow in their life. And in the buyer's mind, you know, they're okay, I'm very sorry for that, whatever the case might be, a death, a divorce, whatever. But it's also saying, I can get this house at a lower price.
Exactly.
Right. I'm desperate.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to give up too much information. We're talking about giving information, how it's valuable. But the key is, you do not want to share your motives behind selling the home. Because again, you know, whether it's death, divorce, you have to move. If the buyer knows you have to move, if they're walking through the home and you say, oh, I got to be out of here by the end of the month, I got a new job in California, well, obviously you just gave them an advantage, and that you don't want to do that. So again, another reason why it's best to keep that information strictly private with your agent and let your agent share the information that's relevant to the buyer and preserve the information that isn't.
The presence of the seller can actually work against the seller, and I don't know how many times I've actually told them that, and it's entirely up to them. It's their house. I can't kick them out. But sometimes a seller will say, make me an offer. What would you, if you were the buyer's agent, what would you hear? Make me an offer. You're listed at 99.9. What do you hear? Please make me an offer.
Yeah. We got to sell this. I'm desperate. You know, you can lowball me is basically what you're saying. Bring me anything. And obviously it's our job as agents to make sure that we, word that properly so that it doesn't, you know, disclose the motivation. That's the key.
We're approaching halftime. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes. We have a large 4-bedroom, 2-bath home located at 1708 Sanderson Avenue in Scranton for $154,000. This home is filled with old world charm. It has hardwood floors on the first and second floor, built-in cabinetry, and classic wood molding throughout. It has large room sizes, a laundry room off of the kitchen, and a walk-up attic with potential to be additional living space. This house just needs some TLC to be restored to its grand past. That's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath home located at 1708 Sanderson Avenue in Scranton for $154,000. And that is listed by Aaron Pierce of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors multi-list statistics for multifamily dwellings. Those are dwellings, 2 units or more. The price ranges that have seen the most significant increase since last year. $50,000 to $60,000 range has seen a 300% increase. $80,000 to $90,000 has seen a 100% increase. And $100,000 to $120,000 has seen a 150% increase. We will return in just a few moments with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Does your home represent the person you are today, or does it represent the person you were 30 years ago? Now is the time to buy a home that fits your present needs. No 3-car garage or backyard putting green, or maybe you just want the simple things. A private den where you can get some work done, or a finished bar where you and your friends can enjoy a few laughs. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will work with you to find the one neighborhood, the one community that gives you the best value for the next 30 years. Whether it's time to move up or you are simplifying your life, life but don't want to sacrifice comfort, call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate will guide you from homepage to home while living up to the promise of the gold standard.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning again. How you doing? This is a good one.
This is a great one. We're with Dan Taylor, quality service producer from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. How are you?
I'm good.
We're talking about what the sellers, owners of property who want to sell their homes need to do in order to get their house ready and on the market for sale, and tips and things of that nature, advice, friendly advice. We like to be friendly about it. We talked about clearing clutter, how important it is for curb and peel. We don't have to go to drastic measures, and we get it. We get it. People don't have unlimited funds to
time and resources,
and
right.
Time and resources to do things. We get it. So we know what works, and simple fixes to something, an exterior problem or an interior problem. We've probably been down that road before, more than likely, right? So we can give good advice in that area. You know, some of the other things that a lot of sellers don't do, but it would make a lot of sense if that house has been owned for a long period of time, if it was in the family. You know, sometimes sellers don't even think about it, but it would make sense to do a title search.
Right, because let's face it, there's two large hurdles, especially on the seller side when it comes to selling the home. You've got the home inspection and the title search. And, you know, if you've got goals and objectives regarding the sale of your home, it could really put a kink in things if something comes up during the title search while you're through the transaction. So, you know, you could very easily save yourself some headaches throughout the process by getting a magnifying glass on the title before you put the home on the market. And this way, you know, if there's anything, liens, encumbrances, easements that need to be addressed that are going to get flagged when the buyer goes to buy the home.
A title search is not a lot of money. It's the title insurance that costs a lot of money.
Right.
But the title search can be done in just a couple weeks. There's some searchers out there that can get it in a couple days.
Yeah.
And as if you have a real estate attorney that you've used in the past, they're usually very good, very thorough, and they can check things over. Also, having a home inspection done. No, there's very few sellers in our area that have a home inspection prior to putting their house on the market, but it will reveal the things that the items that come up in a buyer's home inspection, and you have it in black and white, and you can choose to make those fixes before you even put it on the market.
You're absolutely right. I would say a solid 97%, would you say? A very large percentage of the home buyers are getting home inspections before, and most banks and lenders are requiring that the home is inspected. So it's going to happen. It is inevitable. Rather than being blindsided by the results of a home inspection, and as you had mentioned, if the home hasn't been sold in 50 or 60 years or even 20 or 10, really, anything can happen. Things change and you may not be aware of it. Rather than being blindsided by it in the middle of the transaction and have to come out of pocket to make the repairs or negotiate those repairs, just keep in mind there's someone on the other end of that transaction. So it's not only affecting you, it's also affecting them, you know. And if there's issues with title or issues with inspection, it may put a sour taste in the buyer's mouth, and they may decide to say, you know what, rather than negotiating a fix, I'd rather just walk away. So you may lose a potential opportunity to sell the home for something so simple that could have been addressed and fixed prior to putting the home on the market.
Well, I don't know about you, but I always see that the buyers see that item that needs to be repaired, fixed, is a lot more, costs a little bit more than what it would actually, maybe it would cost the seller if they addressed it before the buyer even walked through the front door.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're so simple. There's some very simple fixes that will be inevitably flagged by a home inspector that if you really just had your own home inspection done, and it's not expensive. We're not talking thousands of dollars. We're talking a couple $100. And this way, again, you get a document that reveals everything the inspector sees. And we're not telling you to fix everything. You know, it's obvious there's some things that's the way the house is. But the things that are going to hang up the deal, you really really want to address, have them taken care of. And most often you can even do it yourself. You know, there's some things that you can quickly fix. And this way it limits the amount of things that will come up in the future inspection. Because when, I don't know if you've got experience with this, I'm sure you do, but if there's 15 things that come up in that inspection report, regardless of if there's two large items, there's still 15 things. And that's the way the buyer sees it. Whoa, look at all these flags. Whereas if you can eliminate 12 of them and focus on the things that really need to be negotiated, that's going to give you a better opportunity to get the home sold for the best price in the quickest time for the least amount of problems.
And we get people don't have a lot of time and resources, like you just said. If you can't paint your whole house, paint one room. And we always advise neutral colors, but if the rooms are fresh and clean, clean. Goes so far. Yeah. Goes a long way.
You're absolutely right.
Nothing like going into the basement and I'm cutting through. It's like a forest of spider webs in the basement. That turns people off right away.
Yeah, you're right. I just walked through home the other day and it was completely remodeled. And then when you went down into the basement, it was as if it was the dungeon from 16th century. so you've got to keep that in mind. And again, this is where a knowledgeable and experienced agent's going to sit with you, walk through the home and show you the tips and tricks. But you know, a lot of the stuff you can get taken care of before. Lighting, we mentioned about exterior lighting. Basement lighting is also key. You know, make sure that that space is maximized. You can see wall to wall and it's not cluttered.
And you have light bulbs with a higher wattage in them so that we can show things, especially in the basements where it is darker, we can see far and wide. Okay, sometimes sellers say to me, what should I do? And there's a list of things that they're overwhelmed. What should I do? Should I rip up the wall-to-wall carpeting because I have hardwood floors under here? Should I take the asbestos off the steam lines in the basement? Should I redo the bathroom, remodel the bathroom, remodel the kitchen? What should I do? And oftentimes they bring us out and we want to be helpful. We don't want the seller to spend lots of money to market the home. So we usually walk through and ask some questions. And a lot of times underneath the carpeting is the hardwood floors, but they don't know what the condition is. But you know, buyers today, if it's wood floors versus 30, 40-year-old carpet.
Wood floors win every time.
Wood floors win
even
every time.
Even if they're old and rustic looking.
Get that carpet out.
I mean, I can't tell how many homes I walk through, and you'll always see it. The corner peeled up, and you can tell the buyers were already in there, and they were questioning whether or not there was true hardwood floors throughout the home. But you're right. It's simple things like that. If not pull the entire carpet up, at least give them an opportunity to see in maybe one room what the hardwood floors are like, because they may be purchasing the home with the intent to remove the carpets the day after they buy.
Man, buyers love hardwood floors these days, and there's nothing like the look of it. But do sellers have to go and refinish them and polyurethane them? No, absolutely not.
The key too is also keep in mind where your budget is. Get a budget and then talk with your agent about what you have to spend and where that money would be best spent in the home before you put the home on the market.
One more thing, and we'll probably be wrapping it up. 81% of buyers reported that staging helped them visualize the features of the home. And this is regarding a house that isn't currently lived in. A lot of times buyers have trouble seeing where everything, all their things would fit or how they would position things. So staging, what are your thoughts about staging?
I think staging is an effective tool if done properly. But one thing I notice with my sellers is that it's scary to them because they see a large cost, a lot of work involved. And what I try to explain to them is it doesn't necessarily, you don't have to stage the entire home. You don't need the patio furniture on the front, the living room, the kitchen, the bedrooms. You can do one or two rooms to really showcase the you know, for instance, a family room or the living room. You know, if you're limited on funds or you're limited on availability, you know, you can still make an impact without blowing your budget.
If you decide to stage, you can control the cost, like you just said, by staging only the rooms most important to buyers. And here's the order: living room, kitchen, master bedroom, dining room, bathroom, child's room, guest room. That's the order to focus on. So living room, kitchen are the first.
I would say, right, living room, kitchen.
Get all those appliances off the counter, right? The ones that you're not using, and show that you actually have counter space.
Exactly.
Well, if someone's living in the house, we often say depersonalize that. that house and take down the pictures. And I've had some discussions with sellers about that. Well, what does it matter? I like to look at these pictures. I'm still living here. It matters because the story you want the house to tell is the story with the buyer in it, right. Not your past.
Right. And I tell my sellers too, you don't have to remove every single picture. We understand you still live in the home. Have a picture on a bookshelf. That's fine. A picture on the nightstand. That's fine. But if you walk down the hallway and there's 18 pictures of the family going back 3 centuries, you know, the entire family tree, that, you know, again, it's tough for the buyer to look past that type of stuff. You want them to envision them in the home.
So create the right vibe by depersonalizing, removing clutter, cleaning.
Clean.
Open the windows, have bright lights on, and create a warm, welcoming feeling throughout the house. And
put the pet somewhere else if you can.
The pet odors are big.
Nope. And another thing, too, just to the point of the pets, is even the sellers themselves, showings are the key to getting your home sold. So if you occupy the home or if you've got your home rented, you need to keep in mind it is essential to have a quick turnaround time when an agent calls to show that home. If an agent calls and says, we'd like to show the home, you know, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and you call them back the next day at noon and say, oh, today at 3 won't work, but how about Friday? Odds are the buyer's going to cross it off the list.
Moved on.
And they're not going to get that buyer back in the house. So it really is essential. You got to keep that in mind. Access to the home is key. And as Pat just mentioned, pets are, unfortunately, can get in the way of that. You know, if we talked about the seller being at the property, same thing with pets. Some people are uncomfortable with dogs. Even if they're little dogs and they're the cutest thing on the planet, they're still uncomfortable. So try to crate them, put them outside, have a neighbor take them, a family friend, so it's more comfortable for the buyer to walk through the home.
But often I find that sellers become immune to the pet odor. That's
yes.
Just perfectly natural
yes.
To pets residing in the residence. So there are things that they can do in order to air out the home and make it as pleasant as can be for the buyer. And there are, if you're going to burn that candle, if you're going to have aroma in your house, to do it so it's not overwhelming, like those strong perfume smells, stay away from that.
Yeah, too much.
Maybe go with a citrus kind of
scent. Similar to the paint. You know, you don't want to make it look institutionalized and paint everything white. You know, go with some neutral colors, give it some personality, but the same thing with the scents. You know, you don't have to go crazy with colognes and perfumes, you know, some nice subtle scents.
Citrus is always a winner. Orange, lemon, that sort of thing. Well, we're out of time. We had a great discussion regarding what people need to do to prep their house and get it ready for on the market. Dan Taylor with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. You're a quality service producer, and we thank you so much for 2 weeks of excellent discussion.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Yes, we have a double home located at 532 North Main Avenue in Scranton for only $82,000. This home has a one-bedroom apartment on the first floor and a two-bedroom apartment on the second floor. The apartments are in good condition, and they have separate utilities, including separate heat and water. The taxes are only $1,100 a year. This could be a great investment property, or you could live in one unit and have the rent pay the mortgage. That's a two-unit located at 532 North Main Avenue in Scranton for only $82,000, and that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
This article really drew my attention and piqued my interest, and I can't wait to tell you guys about it. Buying a house is no longer just an emotional roller coaster. Sounds like one of our ads.
Yeah, it sounds like a commercial.
It sounds like our commercial on 94.3 FM, The Talker. But buying a house is no longer just an emotional roller coaster. It is a real one. A Dutch real estate company installed an actual roller coaster through the inside and outside of a house on the market. In addition to the ride, an audio tour was provided to highlight the features of each room. And the agency's promotional company came up with the idea, hoping to draw some attention, and it worked. A few prospective buyers took a couple of spins. What we don't know, and that's the end of the article, I mean, it raised a lot of questions. What we don't know is if the house sold, and did it sell because of that roller coaster? And if it did sell and the new buyer took possession of the house, did they take down the roller coaster? Is it something that they get
right
on every day, right? Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, we see that a lot too. We've talked about it in the past where there are these novelty advertising kind of gimmicks that go along with these homes. And you're right. Will they generate traffic? Absolutely. Will they generate interest? Absolutely. You'll get a lot of showings. You'll get a lot of calls. The reality is most of those people probably aren't qualified to even buy the house. They're just interested in learning more. And a lot, you know, like you said, the question is, did the home sell? We've talked about houses in the past where there's a lot of interesting things about the home for advertising purposes, but the reality is, will someone actually put the money on the table to purchase that house?
Well, I don't know, but maybe I'll Google that to find out.
Maybe
later.
I'll put a roller coaster in my next listing. We'll see.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.